This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May today sets out her plan to leave the EU's single market.
The tobacco industry continues consolidating with news of a $49 billion deal this morning.
Deutsche Bank reportedly may withhold 90% of its 2016 bonuses for bankers and traders.
After almost 3 years, the search has been suspended for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Plus, the wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter has been arrested. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another one-point loss for the Knicks, beaten by Atlanta at the Garden. The finals rematch, Warriors blew out the Cavs. The Islanders, a shutout win in Boston.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 12 points. Dow E-mini futures down 89. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.5%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 18/32nds. Yield 2.33%. The yield on the two-year, 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4% or 73 cents to $53.10 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.7% or $20.70 to $12.1690 an ounce. The euro, $1.0681 and the yen, 113.07.
Today, UK Prime Minister Theresa May announces her plan to pull out of the European Union's single market. She's scheduled to make her remarks later this morning, later this hour, at 6:45 Wall Street time. And we'll bring her comments to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Bloomberg's Anna Edwards has a preview from our London Bureau.
Newspaper reports over the weekend suggested that she will say she is prepared to leave the EU's single market and customs union to enable the UK government to control migration, leave the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice and strike its own trade deals. Also newsworthy could be comments on the status of EU citizens currently living in the UK and how much Parliament will be involved in the process. The pound came under pressure in early trading on Monday as currency traders factored in the weekend news flow, suggesting an increasingly hard or clean Brexit. People familiar with the situation have told Bloomberg that the UK government is drawing up plans to try to reassure investors after Prime Minister May speaks. They expect the pound to take another hit. Anna Edwards, Bloomberg News, London.
Thank you, Anna. And the pound has strengthened since yesterday's lows. It's currently trading 1% higher at $1.2166.
Trading in Europe ahead of Prime Minister May's speech is underway. And for some of the stories we're watching in the region, we bring in Bloomberg's Matt Miller live in our Berlin bureau. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Well, our focus is also on the pound as well as the yuan, running to a two-month high after Donald Trump's comments on a strong dollar. But European stock markets are down for the second day in a row. Futures, of course, looking like you're going to open down as well after yesterday's holiday. The FTSE right now trading down about one-third of 1%, a little bit more at 72.99. The CAC and the DAX down more, with the German index off almost nine-tenths of 1%. European car sales rose 6.5% to reach a nine-year high. This, as President-elect Donald Trump attacks car makers like BMW and Daimler for building plants in Mexico. Daimler stock, one of the biggest losers on the day on the stock 600, down just about 1%, but 1.5%, but heavily weighted, so a drag on that broader European index. Rolls-Royce shares are also moving today, but the other direction, gaining after the maker of jet engines, not the car maker owned by BMW, agreed to pay about £670 million or $800 million to resolve long-standing U.S. and U.K. investigations into allegations that its representatives bribed foreign officials to win business. Bob and Karen?
Matt Miller, thank you, sir. Deutsche Bank reportedly may withhold 90% of bonuses. That's according to the New York Post, which says only the top 10% of bankers and traders are expected to receive a bonus for 2016. Deutsche Bank has been exploring alternatives to paying cash bonuses as it seeks to build capital buffers and shore up investor confidence.
Meanwhile, in Asia, investors showed caution ahead of the World Economic Forum gathering in Davos. Bloomberg's Juliet Solly has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Many Asian markets were weaker Tuesday. However, Chinese stocks stabilized after a five-day losing streak, the benchmark Shanghai Composite adding 0.2%. Stocks in Shenzhen also came back from a seven-month low, while the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong recovered most of Monday's losses. The Nikkei 225, though, fell 1.5% in Tokyo as the yen strengthened against the dollar for a seventh session during Asian trade. And in Korea, Samsung shares rebounded. That saw the KOSPI close higher by 0.4%. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. We're getting word of a $49 billion deal in the tobacco industry this morning. With the details, here's Bloomberg's Steve Potisk.
British American Tobacco has reached an agreement to buy full control of Reynolds American with an increased offer of $49.4 billion. The move marks a successful end to almost 3 months of negotiations. The combination is the latest in a wave of consolidation for the tobacco industry, which is struggling with decreased demand for cigarettes. Reynolds is seen as an attractive acquisition for British American Tobacco because it's a leader in the U.S. market for e-cigarettes. Steve Potisk, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Steve. This week we'll bring more earnings from the financial industry with Morgan Stanley due to announce results this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the investment bank will likely post stronger per-share earnings, and the fourth quarter numbers may look all the better because they'll be compared to those from a tough fourth quarter in 2015, which included a $150 million restructuring charge. Forecasts are for Morgan Stanley's profit to come in at 65 cents a share on revenue topping $8.4 billion. The company gets 16 buy ratings, 15 hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. And Morgan Stanley is up 0.2% in early trading. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Arrests in terror attacks here at home and in Turkey. The very latest now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The FBI has arrested the wife of Orlando nightclub gunman Omar Mateen in connection with the massacre. Noor Salman is charged with obstruction of justice and providing material support to a foreign terrorist organization. Orlando Police Chief John Mina says he has no doubt that Salman could have prevented the massacre that left 49 people dead.
These investigations take time, and it's more important to do a thorough and complete investigation so that this case is rock solid against her, so that there's a successful prosecution.
Salman is scheduled to make an initial appearance in federal court this morning in Oakland. Salman moved from Florida to California following the shooting. Istanbul officials say the man accused of carrying out the New Year's attack on a nightclub is in custody. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack that killed 39 people. After nearly 3 years, the hunt for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 has been called off in the southern Indian Ocean without finding the plane. A joint statement from the transport ministers from Malaysia, Australia, and China say the search has been suspended despite every effort using the best science available and cutting-edge technology. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts says Congressman John Lewis has earned the right to raise questions about the legitimacy of Donald Trump's election. Warren, at a Martin Luther King breakfast in Boston, said Lewis put his life on the line during the Civil Rights Movement, while Trump hasn't put his life on the line for anyone except Donald Trump. The Georgia Democrat said he does not consider Trump a legitimate president, blaming Russia for helping him win the White House. Trump criticized Lewis, tweeting out, "All talk, 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 no action or results." Congressman John Lewis is among several Democratic lawmakers planning to skip Friday's inauguration of Donald Trump. Meanwhile, the head of the Republican Party in Jefferson County, Kentucky, says it's now 2.5 months after the election. Party head Byron Fisher says he thinks Democrats need to move on.
If you could just imagine what would be said about Republican members of Congress, if they had somehow challenged President Obama's elections both times.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. 6:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Game number 42 for the Knicks to start of the second half of their season, and the holiday matinee at the Garden ended like so many games of the first half.
Down to 10 seconds. Rose right in the middle. Rose drives down the lane, lays it up, and it's blocked. Rebound Carmelo Anthony, though, up, no good. Rebound loose, and the Hawks are going to get it. Dennis Schröder has it. 1 second left. Dennis gets it ahead. The horn sounds, and the Atlanta Hawks have come into New York and won. The Hawks win. The Hawks win.
Hawks radio had Atlanta won 108-107. Dennis Schröder shot 13-16, scored 28 points at the go-ahead three-pointer with 22 seconds left. Carmelo Anthony, amidst trade rumors, had 30. Again, no Kristaps Porzingis. Knicks have now dropped 10 of their last 12, three of them by 1 point. Finals rematch, no match. All Golden State Warriors had lost four in a row to Cleveland, games 5 through 7 of last year's finals, and then again on Christmas. But Golden State won 126-91. Warriors were up by 29 at the half. Surprising for a franchise that once won four straight Stanley Cups, the Islanders had never had a shutout win in Boston until Thomas Grace made 32 saves, 4-0 Isles win. Washington's 9-game winning streak ended at Pittsburgh. In a wild one, Penguins scored opening minute of overtime and won 8-7. Pittsburgh scored 6 in the second period. Villanova again ranked number 1 and took it out on Seton Hall 76-46. Kansas now ranked 2nd. Also a winner, North Carolina beat Syracuse. That's career victory number 800 for Roy Williams. St. John's beat DePaul 78-68. Ninth win for the Red Storm, who won only 8 games all of last season. Serena Williams now 65-1 in opening round Grand Slam matches she won in Australia. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. A reminder that British Prime Minister Theresa May is scheduled to speak at 6:45 this morning, Wall Street time. We will have her remarks for you live right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. S&P E-mini futures down 12 points. That is 0.5%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Bentley University. What do rebooting America's oldest ski shop and crunching numbers at Vistaprint have in common? An MBA from Bentley University that prepares graduates to innovate and lead. Because business is everywhere. Prepare here.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Theresa May this morning will make it clear the UK will quit the European Union's single market. May is set to speak at 6:45 a.m. Wall Street time and will bring you her comments live on Bloomberg Radio and Television. British American Tobacco has reached an agreement to buy full control of Reynolds American with an increased offer of $49.4 billion. The move marks a successful end to almost 3 months of negotiations. Deutsche Bank may withhold bonuses from 90% of employees. That's according to the New York Post, which says only the top 10% will get a payout for 2016. And another performer has bowed out of playing at the inauguration of Donald Trump this Friday. A Bruce Springsteen tribute band cancelled plans to play at a Washington gala out of respect for Springsteen, who's a known critic of Trump. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. We are watching Reynolds American shares. They are up 3.6% this morning. United Health Group, the biggest U.S. health insurer, posting fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates driven by growth at the Optum technology and consulting business. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P E-mini futures down 13 points. Dow E-mini futures down 103 and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 28. The DAX in Germany's down 1% and the 10-year Treasury up 19/32. The yield 2.32%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Turkish authorities say they have a fingerprint match and a confession from the suspect in the deadly nightclub attack in Istanbul. Officials say he's an Uzbekistan national who trained in Afghanistan. The New Year's Day attack killed 39 people. The wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter is due in federal court in Oakland, California today to answer to federal charges in connection with the attack. Noor Salman was taken into custody in the San Francisco Bay Area and is facing charges in Florida, including obstruction of justice. Her husband, Omar Mateen, was killed in a shootout with SWAT members during the June massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando that left 49 people dead. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Wizards, Celtics, and Warriors were all winners. In the NHL, the Islanders shut out the Bruins 4-0. The Capitals lost. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Scandinavians are among the wealthiest and most progressive people in the world. That's according to the Bloomberg 2017 Innovation Index. Sweden is now number two. Finland cracked the top five. About 50 economies were ranked on factors such as research and development and the concentration of high-tech public companies.
And he asked expectantly and anxiously, where does the U.S. rank now?
The U.S. fell one spot to ninth. By the way, South Korea is on top. The biggest loser was Russia, following 14 spots to 26th. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Good morning. As we've been reporting, this week we'll bring more earnings reports from the financial sector with Morgan Stanley due to announce results this morning. Allison Williams is senior U.S. banking analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence and joins us now. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning.
Things are looking better for the banks these days. Who's on top lately?
So I think J.P. Morgan reported the other day they're the biggest global investment bank from that perspective, and it looks like they probably retained that position. But obviously there are many different businesses for these banks, and today we're going to hear from Morgan Stanley, which is generally the largest in the equity trading business. And so when we look at their results today, actually analysts expect that they'll have the biggest percentage increase in the fixed income trading business, but that's really due to an easier comparison to last year. About a year ago, they did restructure that business. Since then, revenue has, I think, improved more than people had thought at the time, and it's held up well. Coming into this quarter, again, to some extent, it's the comparison in terms of equity having a very small gain from a year ago, fixed income having a much bigger gain. But the concern is really going to be, away from all of that noise, what is the run rate going into next year? Because for Morgan Stanley, the key for them really is reaching their return on equity target. It's key for everybody, but they basically put that out there. That's the one thing that they are focused on.
Well, there's a lot of optimism from banking executives, isn't there, about what's happening at the end of this week, confidence in the new president.
Sure. And obviously from the stocks, we saw very good gains heading into year end, although it should be pointed out that a lot of that was really just the recovery from the first half of the year. So if you think about where we were roughly a year ago, that some of the banks came out and talked about some problems with energy. Markets were really getting roiled, and the earnings outlook basically fell, in the first several months of the year by 23 to 24% downgraded earnings. That really brought the stocks down. People really pessimistic. Brexit was the low for the stocks. And since then, estimates have been improving. And then coming into this quarter, this is the third quarter in a row that we're likely to have better than expected fixed income trading estimates. We had Jamie Dimon last week saying that we've seen the cyclical and secular bottom. Colm Kelleher from Morgan Stanley, recently, I think it was in the beginning of December when he made his comments, also said that he felt that we had seen the cyclical low, although he was trying to temper some of the enthusiasm. And I think his comments really went to the fact that, yes, we're going to see these big year-over-year gains. Yes, it's the biggest fourth quarter in a long time, but still down from the last quarter. Keep in mind that this is typically a seasonally weaker quarter.
Very quickly, less than a half minute here, Wells Fargo has had a rocky ride lately. Any signs of improvement there?
There are signs of improvement. I think they're showing that they introduced a new compensation package. Their retail metrics are showing improvement. But overall, that's sort of a longer-term issue, and I think it's going to take time to show that they have really gotten that behind them.
Allison Williams, senior U.S. banking analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you very much. Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg Radio. And a reminder that British Prime Minister Theresa May is set to speak on the future after Brexit at 6:45 this morning, Wall Street time. We'll bring her remarks to you live.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May will lay out her plan for Brexit today. She's expected to say that the U.K. will pull out of the European Union's single market and seek an entirely new trading relationship with the bloc. May is set to speak in just 15 minutes from now. We'll bring you live coverage on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
United Health Group has posted fourth quarter profit that topped estimates. Growth at the biggest U.S. health insurer was driven by growth at its Optum technology and consulting business.
British American Tobacco has reached an agreement to buy full control of Reynolds American with an increased offer of $49.4 billion. The move marks a successful end to almost 3 months of negotiations, and Reynolds American is up 3.6% in early trading.
Noble Energy has agreed to buy Clayton Williams for $2.7 billion in stock and cash. The combination will create the second largest acreage position in the southern Delaware Basin of the Permian Shale Formation, one of the few areas in the world where producers managed to make a profit during the downturn.
Wall Street enters this holiday shortened week with plenty to digest in the way of earnings reports. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
Stocks begin the week with NASDAQ at a record and investors wondering when the Dow will break through 20,000. Julian Emanuel is Executive Director of U.S. Equity and Derivative Strategy at UBS Securities.
Going back to earnings, that's a positive message. However, we're all going to remember that the focus on earnings is likely only going to last 4 or 5 days, because next Friday, January the 20th, we're going to start worrying about politics and macro once again.
This week, we will get a number of Fed speakers, along with earnings from banks that include Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup. We'll also be getting quarterly updates from Netflix, IBM, and General Electric. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
More automakers are announcing plans to expand operations in the U.S. amid threats from President-elect Donald Trump of higher levies on auto imports. Hyundai and affiliate Kia Motors say they will spend $3.1 billion in the U.S. over the next 5 years. And according to people familiar with the matter, General Motors is expected to announce today a new investment of $1 billion in U.S. plants.
And futures this morning, they're moving lower. S&P E-mini futures down 12 points, Dow E-mini futures down 95, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 24. The DAX in Germany is down 1%, 10-year Treasury up 21 32nds, the yield 2.31%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5%, up 77 cents to $53.14 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.8% or $21.90 to $12.18 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by the audit, tax, and advisory professionals at Eisner Amper LLP. The Orlando nightclub attack back in the news with an arrest. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the very latest now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The wife of Orlando nightclub gunman Omar Mateen faces a court hearing in California after being arrested there in connection with his Florida shooting rampage that left 49 people dead. Noor Salman faces charges including obstruction of justice. Orlando Police Chief John Mina says he has no doubt that Salman could have prevented the massacre.
I was extremely happy that She is in custody. From the onset of the tragedy at Pulse nightclub on June 12th, I knew was in close contact with the FBI. I knew within days that she had some part and aided Omar Mateen in this horrific tragedy, and that someday, when the investigation complete, she would be put behind bars and ultimately answered for this horrific tragedy.
The shooting at the Pulse nightclub killed 49 people. Turkish authorities say the gunman in the New Year's Day nightclub attack in Istanbul has been arrested. The shooting, already claimed by the Islamic State group, left 39 people dead. More than three dozen Democrats now say they will not be attending Friday's inauguration. President-elect Donald Trump tweeted Congressman John Lewis was all talk, talk, talk after Lewis said Trump was not a legitimate president. Among the lawmakers pledging to boycott Donald Trump's swearing-in ceremony is California Congressman Mark Takano.
People have not forgotten that he attacked a Mexican-American judge, that he attacked a Gold Star family, and now a civil rights icon. I cannot pretend that this is a normal transition of power.
The Obama administration and Cuba's Interior Ministry have agreed to share information on international criminal activities such as terrorism and human trafficking. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Much obliged, sir. 6:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. With each loss, the Knicks' hopes of at least making it back to the postseason grow dimmer. Now 11th place in the East, losers of 10 of their last 12 games, and the stories continue of the Knicks at least looking to trade Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, if that's the case, and, you know, if that's what's coming from that side, then it's a conversation that we should have. I mean, if they feel that my time in New York is just over, then I guess that's a conversation we should have.
Latest Knicks loss, 108-107 to Atlanta at the Garden. Anthony scored 30 points but missed a go-ahead shot at the end, as did Derrick Rose. Last time Cleveland was at Golden State, the Cavs were winning Game 7 of the Finals. This one was all Warriors, 126-91. Islanders, a 4-0 win at Boston. Thomas Greiss, 32 saves. The Isles' first ever shutout win in Boston. In Pittsburgh, 6 second-period goals for the Penguins. Another in overtime to top Washington, 8-7. Evgeny Malkin had the hat trick that ends the Caps' 9-game winning streak. In the Big East, St. John's beat DePaul, 78-68. Red Storm made a dozen three-pointers. Mark Ellison sunk 5 of 6. Rough night for Seton Hall. Lost at Villanova, 76-46. The Wildcats once again ranked number one in the country. Monmouth beat Canisius, 76-72. Australian Open, Novak Djokovic won straight sets over Fernando Verdasco. The Jets re-signed starting guard Brian Winters, who would have been a free agent. Chip Kelly, after head coaching stints in Philadelphia and San Francisco, interviewed with Jacksonville to be the Jags offensive coordinator. Baseball free agent slugger Jose Bautista said to be close to a deal to remain with Toronto. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Donald Trump may rail about regulations, but the actual number of regulations issued by President Barack Obama was actually lower than previous administrations. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
While the overall number is down, the number of economically significant regulations is up. Those are regulations that have an annual effect on the economy of $100 million or more. Bloomberg BNA's Cheryl Bolin says that definition hasn't changed, though, for decades.
It hasn't been adjusted for inflation and other factors. It just seems to make more sense that there would be more economically significant regulations in the Obama administration.
Bolin says eliminating any rule is a slow process.
Even a small regulation, you still have to go through a rulemaking in order to eliminate it. So it's not really quick in either case.
She predicts the rules targeted for elimination under Donald Trump will likely concern the Affordable Care Act and financial laws. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. The Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned event is on now with exceptional finance rates. Hurry, offers end soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey. It's now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
After some nudging from President-elect Trump, Republicans in Congress may have changed their minds about repealing Obamacare without first deciding what will replace it. Here's the next hard truth they'll need to absorb. Rushing that decision is almost as foolhardy as providing no replacement. Consider the amount of work involved. To begin, Republicans will have to answer the basic questions they have so far evaded. Mainly, are they serious about covering most of the 20 million Americans now insured under Obamacare? And if so, how will they pay for it? Once Republicans have devised their alternative health care system, they'll need to present the plan to doctors, hospitals, insurers, drug makers, and others to ensure the law won't have unintended consequences. That's not horse trading. It's how to accomplish smart reform. Finally, lawmakers will have to explain their system to the American public, whose support the Obama administration never managed to secure. This process cannot be completed in a few short months. Having made health care reform their own signature issue, Republicans should proceed carefully. A good first step would be to stop pretending that lasting reform can happen any other way. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. After decades of complaints that drilling, logging, and other activities are being obstructed by the Endangered Species Act, Republicans in control of Congress and soon the White House are determined to roll back one of the government's most powerful conservation tools. Almost all of the GOP's attempts to curtail the law have been blocked by Democrats or lawsuits from environmentalists. The 1973 Act was ushered through Congress nearly unanimously, in part to stave off extinction of the national symbol, the bald eagle, which was removed from the threatened list in 2007. In the eagle's place, another emblematic species, the wolf, has emerged as a prime example of what critics say is wrong with the current law, seemingly endless litigation that offers federal protection long after government biologists conclude a species has recovered. House Natural Resources Committee Chairman Rob Bishop of Utah says the act has been hijacked, and he would, as he puts it, love to invalidate the law. And that is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P E-mini futures down 13 points. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Investing in local communities, economies, and a sustainable future. That's the power of global connections. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Member SIPC.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are awaiting a news conference with UK Prime Minister Theresa May. She's expected to announce her plan to pull out of the EU's single market. Again, as soon as that begins, we will bring it to you live right here on Bloomberg Radio. But first, we are watching futures. They're moving lower. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure as traders await May's speech on Brexit. Dow futures are currently down 97 points. S&P's dropped 13, and Nasdaq futures declined by 27. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.31%. Japan fell 1.5% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure, led by 1% losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing. And regarding earnings this morning, UnitedHealth and Comerica EPS both beat estimates. Also look for Morgan Stanley to report around 7 a.m. In deal news, Bat agrees to buy the rest of Reynolds for about $59.64 a share. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Over at J.P. Morgan, American Express raised overweight. Chipotle was cut to neutral. Devon Energy cut to hold at Jefferies. Disney raised to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Baidu cut to equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Netflix raised to buy at Mizuho. And finally, Twitter was cut to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K, Go. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Turkish authorities have captured the gunman suspected of killing 39 people during a New Year's attack on an Istanbul nightclub. The capture was made in Istanbul. The suspect is said to be an Uzbekistan national. The search for Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 has been called off. The jet with 239 people on board went down over the Indian Ocean in March of 2014 while flying from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Hawks. The Wizards, Celtics, and Warriors were all winners. In the NHL, the Islanders shut out the Bruins 4-0. The Capitals lost. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Alphonse Gabriel Capone was born on this day in New York City in 1899. Al Capone was expelled from school at age 14 for hitting a teacher, and he was off and running from there. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Theresa May speaking now in London. Let's bring you her remarks live.
And they did so with their eyes open, accepting that the road ahead will be uncertain at times, but believing that it leads towards a brighter future for their children and their grandchildren too. And it is the job of this government to deliver it. That means more than negotiating our new relationship with the EU. It means taking the opportunity of this great moment of national change to step back and ask ourselves what kind of country we want to be. My answer is clear. I want this United Kingdom to emerge from this period of change stronger, fairer, more united, and more outward-looking than ever before. I want us to be a secure, prosperous, tolerant country, a magnet for international talent, and a home to the pioneers and innovators who will shape the world ahead. I want us to be a truly global Britain, the best friend and neighbour to our European partners, but a country that reaches beyond the borders of Europe too. A country that goes out into the world to build relationships with old friends and new allies alike. I want Britain to be what we have the potential, talent and ambition to be. A great global trading nation that is respected around the world and strong, confident and united at home. That is why this government has a plan for Britain. One that gets us the right deal abroad, but also ensures we get a better deal for ordinary working people at home. It's why that plan sets out how we will use this moment of change to build a stronger economy and a fairer society by embracing genuine economic and social reform. Why our new modern industrial strategy is being developed to ensure every nation and area of the United Kingdom can make the most of the opportunities ahead. Why we will go further to reform our schools, to ensure every child has the knowledge and the skills they need to thrive in post-Brexit Britain. Why, as we continue to bring the deficit down, we will take a balanced approach by investing in our economic infrastructure, because it can transform the growth potential of our economy and improve the quality of people's lives across the whole country. It's why we will put the preservation of our precious union at the heart of everything we do. Because it is only by coming together as one great union of nations and people that we can make the most of the opportunities ahead. The result of the referendum was not a decision to turn inward and retreat from the world. Because Britain's history and culture is profoundly internationalist. We are a European country and proud of our shared European heritage. But we are also a country that has always looked beyond Europe to the wider world. That is why we are one of the most racially diverse countries in Europe, one of the most multicultural members of the European Union. And why, whether we're talking about India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, America, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, countries in Africa, or those that are closer to home in Europe, so many of us have close friends and relatives from across the world. Instinctively, we want to travel to, study in, trade with countries not just in Europe but beyond the borders of our continent. Even now, as we prepare to leave the EU, we are planning for the next biennial Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in 2018, a reminder of our unique and proud global relationships. And it is important to recognise this fact. June the 23rd was not the moment Britain chose to step back from the world. It was the moment we chose to build a truly global Britain. I know that this and the other reasons Britain took such a decision is not always well understood among our friends and allies in Europe. And I know many fear that this might herald the beginning of a greater unravelling of the EU. But let me be clear, I do not want that to happen. It would not be in the best interests of Britain. It remains overwhelmingly and compellingly in Britain's national interest that the EU should succeed. And that is why I hope, in the months and years ahead, we will all reflect on the lessons of Britain's decision to leave. So let me take this opportunity to set out the reasons for our decision and to address the people of Europe directly. It's not simply because our history and culture is profoundly internationalist, important though that is. Many in Britain have always felt that the United Kingdom's place in the European Union came at the expense of our global ties and of a bolder embrace of free trade with the wider world. There are other important reasons too. Our political traditions are different. Unlike other European countries, we have no written constitution, but the principle of parliamentary sovereignty is the basis of our unwritten constitutional settlement. We have only a recent history of devolved governance, though it has rapidly embedded itself. And we have little history of coalition government. The public expect to be able to hold their governments to account very directly. And as a result, supranational institutions, as strong as those created by the European Union, sit very uneasily in relation to our political history and way of life. And while I know Britain might at times have been seen as an awkward member state, the European Union has struggled to deal with the diversity of its member countries and their interests. It bends towards uniformity, not flexibility. David Cameron's negotiation was a valiant final attempt to make it work for Britain. And I want to thank all those elsewhere in Europe who helped him to reach an agreement. But the blunt truth, as we know, is that there was not enough flexibility on many important matters for a majority of British voters. Now, I do not believe that these things apply uniquely to Britain. Britain is not the only member state where there is a strong attachment to accountable and democratic government, such a strong internationalist mindset, or a belief that diversity within Europe should be celebrated. And so I believe there is a lesson in Brexit, not just for Britain, but if it wants to succeed, for the EU itself. Because our continent's great strength has always been its diversity. And there are two ways of dealing with different interests. You can respond by trying to hold things together by force, tightening a vice-like grip that ends up crushing into tiny pieces the very things you want to protect. Or you can respect difference, cherish it even, and reform the EU so that it deals better with the wonderful diversity of its member states. So to our friends across Europe, let me say this. Our vote to leave the European Union was no rejection of the values we share. The decision to leave the EU represents no desire to become more distant to you, our friends and neighbours. It was no attempt to do harm to the EU itself or to any of its remaining member states. We do not want to turn the clock back to the days when Europe was less peaceful, less secure, and less able to trade freely. It was a vote to restore, as we see it, our parliamentary democracy, national self-determination, and to become even more global and internationalist in action and in spirit.